different. Amen? There'll be a difference in your life. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I understand it's been pretty warm here, been in the 90s, and where we were at, it was really low 80s, and of course with the ocean breeze, it made it feel pretty good, but hopefully it won't get too hot too soon. I tell folks there, you know, I talk to these folks, and they're like, well, it's, you know, it's so nice outside, it's 110 degrees, you know, and it's so nice outside, and I walk out and think, man, what's so nice about it? You can't even breathe. And I don't care anything about all that. But anyway, 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I will start reading in verse number 1 tonight. And we'll just read down through several verses and get into the message. The Bible says here, chapter number 30, verse 1, and it came to pass, David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, and the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Taking the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept till they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Hinnom the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt overtake them, and without fail recover all. David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. We pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help us. I pray you'd cleanse me of my sin, empty me of myself. Fill me, Lord, your spirit. Help us tonight to preach only what thus saith the Lord. I pray that I would say nothing that does not need to be said, but everything that does. Lord, when we're all said and done tonight, we want to be sure to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor that's due your holy name. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to preach tonight on this thought. What to do when your world falls apart? What to do when your world falls apart? I talk to people on a weekly basis and sometimes on even a daily basis whose life has literally been turned upside down and tragedy has struck their family. A loved one has been in an accident. A family member has gotten the bad news of cancer, or a son or daughter has walked away from God, and unexpected financial obligation has come into their life and been dumped in somebody's lap. A husband has just lost his job and it seems nobody's hiring. A daddy's just walked out on his wife and his three children. A loved one's just been picked up by the police. A husband has just found out that his wife has been unfaithful. Or a wife has just caught her husband in an adulterous affair. Almost every single day I get a call about somebody else's life that literally has been turned upside down. Just yesterday I talked to a lady whose husband had ran off and left the wife and several kids with no money and no food and no transportation and no way to get anything or do anything for her children. And her world had been turned upside down. Many of the members of this church have gone through or are going through things that are unbearable. Sometimes seem like things that are impossible, and circumstances have arose and risen up that literally in your life that seems like the circumstances, your life has been turned upside down. In our passage tonight, David and his men find themselves in a predicament such as that. They find themselves literally in the greatest trial and greatest trying time in their life. They headed out thinking that they were going to battle. As they head out there on their way, in fact, they were planning to fight with the Philistines against the nation of Israel. That's right, you read the story. It's a very interesting story. David literally had been running from Saul. He had found refuge there in the camp of the Philistines. And they were fixing to fight on the side of the Philistines against the very nation of Israel. Providentially, God had spared them from fighting that battle. And so the people there had said, look, we don't want David fighting with us. We'll get in the middle of the battle. He'll turn on us. And then he'll just be trying to kill us right there standing beside us. God had turned the hearts of Philistines away from David, and so David and his men providentially was spared from fighting literally against their own people. And so they begin heading back home, which is about a 3-day journey, and as they head back, no doubt they're missing their wives. No doubt they're missing their children. As I mentioned earlier, it's good to go, but it's always good to come home. And no doubt they're missing the things of home. They're missing their bed. They're missing all the things that we like there that we have set up in our own way at our own homes. This had been just another day at work for them. And like many times before, the closer they got to home, no doubt the more the anticipation built and the more excited they became. And the closer and closer they got, the more they were ready to see their family. But as they begin to approach the city, something does not look right. Something does not seem right. As they're beginning to approach the city, no doubt many of the men got that sick feeling in the pit of their stomach that you get when you know something just isn't right. And no doubt as they got closer and closer, the scene looked worse and worse. They could tell the entire city had been burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters, all of them had been kidnapped and taken captive. And in just a moment of time, out of nowhere, completely out of left field, not expecting it at all, they found themselves in the storm of their life. What had just been seemingly another day at the office had turned into a day of terror. Their world had literally been turned upside down. Everything that these men loved, everything that these men cherished, everyone that these men loved had been taken away just like that, and their world had came crashing down around them. The trouble and the turmoil and the trials was all around them, and they literally did not know what to do. They did not know where to turn. They did not know how to proceed. It seemed that life had literally come to a screeching halt. And at this point, they did not even know what the next move was to make. David and all of these men were broken. David, as well as all of these men, literally they had cried until the Bible says they could not cry anymore. Look at verse number 4. David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been that place in your life where literally something has broken you to the point that you've wept and wept and wept, and man, you've talked about that thing and thought about it and let that thing really consume your life until the point where you had no more power to even weep? Have you ever been to the place where you went to work one day with everything great, and by the time you come home at the end of the day, your world and your life had been changed forever? You ever gotten that dreaded phone call of an accident or a tragedy? Have you ever gotten that dreaded phone call of one has passed away unexpectedly? Have you ever gotten that message of the bad news? Have you ever been made aware of a son or daughter who's living a dangerous, ungodly life and you didn't know all the things they were caught up in? Have you ever sat in a medical room where a doctor sat in front of you and the diagnosis was cancer, whether or not it was a loved one or whether or not maybe it was you yourself? Have you ever came home early from work one day only to find out that your spouse has walked out on you? Have you ever had to look your hungry children in the face, not knowing where the next meal was going to come from? Here David's in the trial of his life. His wives are gone. His children are gone. All of his stuff has been taken away. All the food's gone. The city literally has been burned with fire. There's not even a place for him to lay his head. There's nowhere even to stay. And if that was not bad enough, in the midst of all his heartache, in the midst of all his trial, in the midst of all he's already dealing with through his losses and through everything that's already been taken away from him, here his own people, the own men, his own men that literally serve under him, the men that have been with him, turn on him. Verse number 5 and 6 tell us David's two wives were taken captive. Then verse 6 tells us, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. I tell you, when you come back like that, it's a bad situation. When you come back like that, it's a pretty bad deal. When you find yourself in a situation like that, listen, he's already grieving over the people he loves. Already he's lost so much, and he's already people of those who are gone. And yet the others have determined that it's his fault. The others have determined that they're going to stone David, and here he literally may even die. And the fact is, at this point, he probably didn't mind that too much. In this tragedy, and in this trial that David finds himself in, with David's world being turned upside down and inside out, where it seems that David's life and David's world literally is falling apart, when we look at David's actions here and how he handled this situation, we learn some lessons of what to do when your world falls apart. I want you to notice, first of all, from our text, the Bible says in verse number 6, the first thing I want you to notice, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Number one, what to do when your world falls apart? Encourage yourself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. This is no doubt one of the greatest statements that's ever been made. David, all in the midst of all of it, in the middle of his trial, here David's between a rock and a hard place. David is at his wit's end. The situation seems hopeless. Yet in this bad situation, in this trial, this tragedy, in all the turmoil, all the things that's going on in David's life, somehow David found a way to encourage himself in the Lord his God. And can I tell you something tonight? Listen, there's going to come a time, and there's always those times in our life where our circumstances and our situation does not produce any joy, does not produce any happiness. There's going to be those times in our life where we look around and there's nothing that looks very pleasant to us that's happening in our life. There's going to be those times that we look around and there's not joy and there's not happiness and there's not peace and there's not comfort. There's those times that the situation looks pretty bleak, and look, when we look around, there's nothing that seems to be there. And are we just supposed to sit around and be discouraged? Are we just supposed to sit around and be depressed? Are we just supposed to give up and give out or give in? Not on your life. Somehow, some way, you and I as children of God ought to be able to find a way to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. You see, we can always glory in the fact, he's my God. I can always glory in the fact that I'm his child. David, the Bible says, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David said it this way in another trying time in his life, Psalms 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. What should I fear? What else matters?" You see, when the Lord is our light and the Lord is our salvation, what in the world else matters? Listen to what we can rejoice and we can encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. When you can't say anything else, you can always say, "Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm forgiven. Thank God," we sung about it just a minute ago, "redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, when we can't say anything else, you know what we can say? Thank God we're saved. Thank God we're forgiven. Thank God we've been pardoned. Thank God we've been set free. Thank God I have a home in heaven. Listen, glory, hallelujah. God is my Father. Jesus, my Savior. Holy Ghost is my Comforter. I'm glad, praise God. Listen, I'm His child, and He's my Father, and we can encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. One thing we need to never get over. One thing we need to never forget. Listen, if all God ever did for us was save us and we don't have to go to hell like we talked about this morning, if all He ever did was save us, if He never answered another prayer or never met another need, if God never did anything else for us and all He ever did was save us, we could shout to the end of the world, thank God, listen, I'm saved, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. David encouraged himself in the Lord. God help us to never get past the thing of the fact that God looked past our fault, saw our need, and He reached down for way further down we could ever reach up, put us up on that rock, set our feet on a solid rock, established our going, put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. The Bible says, while his back was against the wall, in the middle of the storm, when the storm was raging the hardest, David found a way to encourage himself in the Lord his God. You see, it was in times like these that David wrote so many of the Psalms that's helped so many people. He's going through trials and troubles and all the things there and all through the book of Psalms. You know what you do? You find David encouraging himself in the Lord. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From which cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Oh yes, listen, David spent time, you know what he did? Encouraging himself in the Lord his God. Child of God, listen, you don't have to let problems defeat you. You don't have to let situations defeat you. You don't have to let the devil destroy you and rob you of your joy and rob you of your happiness of being a Christian. Listen, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say we rejoice. You see, so how is it that the Bible says here David encouraged himself in the Lord his God? If David was able to find some comfort, if David was able to find some encouragement in the Lord, then the Lord must have done something for David and in David's life in the past. In other words, he must have helped David out of some other situation. He must have helped David through some other problem before that had made David have enough faith and have enough confidence that God could handle this again and to look to the Lord and encourage himself in the Lord his God. I want you to turn with me back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Hold your place here. You see, years before the passage that we just read, as a teenager, David had been a little shepherd boy, and one day he's out there keeping those sheep. And as David's out there keeping those sheep as just a teenager, David learned some things. It seemed there was a lion, and it seemed that there was a bear that came out, wanted to kill one of those little sheep. Look with me at verse number 34, chapter 17. David said unto Saul, he's telling his testimony here because he's wanting to go fight the giant now. Look what he says, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Watch verse number 37. David said, moreover, the Lord, watch this, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. You see, David had already seen what God could do. And you move on through the chapter and you find out that David takes his sling and God lets that rock hit that giant right between the eyes and he falls. Fast forward 13 chapters. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. In our text, we see that David could encourage himself in the Lord because David had knew, he had seen and known what God had done and God could do and God had done before. And he said, you know what David said here? He said, just like he delivered me from that lion and that bear, he's going to deliver me out of that Philistine. You know what David was of the opinion of? Just like he's delivered me out of that Philistine, he's going to deliver me from this problem too. You know what David figured out? David had been there before and David figured out if God could do it one time, then God could do it again. Aren't you glad tonight that he's the same God? I'm glad we serve the same God that David served. And we serve the same God that Elijah served. I serve the same God that Daniel served. And can I tell you this tonight? If God can do it one time, God can do it again. He's the same God. I don't know what tragedy that may have struck your life. I don't know what storm you may be going through. I don't know what bad news you may have received. I don't know what problem that you're facing. I don't know what it is that's turned your world upside down. But watch this. Every single one of us have watched God walk into our storm and the waves cease. Every single one of us have seen God show up in our valley and pick us up and set us back up on a rock. Every single one of us have watched God walk into our situation and reconcile a problem that they said could not be reconciled. I'm simply saying that we serve a God that if he's done it before, don't you ever think that he can't do it again and he won't do it again. Determine you're going to trust God. Encourage yourself in the Lord. A week or so ago, some of you may have heard, Bruce thought his car was stolen. Come to find out, they just towed it, like they'll do sometimes, you know. Somebody at Lockwood's Park, so they just towed it. But he thought that his car had been stolen. And in the middle of that whole thing, when it looked the worst, when he thought, man, I'm out of a car, don't got the money to replace it, now I'm out of a ride, and, you know, transportation, all that kind of stuff. In the middle of it all, when the things looked the worst, this was his response to his wife. The Lord must be about to unload huge blessings based on all we've been experiencing lately. I'm excited to see what those blessings might be. You know what that is? Somebody's been there before. That's somebody that's seen God do it before. That's somebody that knows that if God did it one time, God can do it again. He's the same God. But we look around and we get distraught. We look around and we think, man, I don't know, we're up against this problem, but how many times has God shown up in our situation? And how many times has God shown up and met our needs? How many times has God showed up and solved that problem? And we still wring our hands. You've been trusting this far. He's never let you down. He's not going to let you down. Listen, we've come too far to turn back now. You've been trusting this far. I praise God, I'm going to trust him the rest of the way. He's not going to let us down. Number one, what to do when your world falls apart? Learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. Secondly, not only David encouraged himself in the Lord, David inquired at the Lord. Look at verse number 8, back in our text, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 8. David inquired at the Lord. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? You know what David did? He sought the advice of God. He got on his face before God. But the Bible still says, I love it, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me. And I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Can I say this? Where are you going with your problems? Who are you going to get advice for your problems? We go everywhere else and everybody else before we go to the Lord. Listen, David didn't call every person he knew and tell them all about his problem. Nothing wrong with, listen, confiding in somebody, but he didn't post it on Facebook as prayer requests so everybody in the world knows. He simply got on his face before God, the place where he could get some help. Psalms 34:4, David said, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Imagine that. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Where are you going to for your advice? Where are you going to for help? You've heard me say, well, I don't take financial advice from broke people. Listen. Ladies, you've got some problem in your marriage. Don't go to your man-hating friend that's going to always be against him, going to always tell you how you're right and he's wrong, going to always tell you how you just need to drop him and leave him. You take it to the Lord first. Then you take it to the godly authority, the spiritual leadership that God's put into your life. Maybe you take it to some godly lady that's been married, that is married, and that can help you with something, that's proved herself to be faithful. You're dealing with a wayward son, wayward daughter. Don't go tell the town gossip. Take it to the Lord. Just keep taking it back to the Lord. Keep going to God with that problem. David inquired at the Lord. Thirdly, I want you to notice, David exercised obedience in the Lord. Look at verse number 8 again. And David inquired the Lord. He asking God what to do. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. Notice verse 10. David pursued. David pursued. He exercised obedience in the Lord. How many times have you went to God? You be honest yourself. I got to be honest with myself. How many times have we went to God and said, oh God, what is it you want me to do? What is I supposed to do in this situation? And God shows us and we say, I don't want to do that. I'm saying David exercised obedience in the Lord. No sense going to God if you're not going to listen to him anyway. It's amazing to me. I'm not God, but people come to me and they ask me advice and I give it to them, you know, and they come back 6 months later and I give them the same advice, you know, they still don't listen. You don't go to God and ask him if you're not going to listen. It's in times like these here, you see, David, he exercised obedience to the Lord. Listen, times like these, many times we want to lean to our own understanding. We don't like to do it the way that God wants us to do it. Lord, that doesn't make any sense to me. His ways usually don't make sense. But we want to do it our own way. And when we're hurt, we want to lash out in anger when it seems that everything we love, that all the things that we hold dear have been taken away. We become desperate. And sometimes in that desperation, we don't make the best decisions. I'll never forget a story. Some of you may have heard it. I've got it on one of the CDs back there. Joe Arthur tells about at the church that he pastors, and a lady there in his church, early 30s, and was losing her husband to cancer. It was esophageal cancer. Had two little girls, young girls. Just a heartbreaking situation. He tells a story about going over the house just that final time and having to take those babies and set them up in their daddy's arms one last time there as he's in the bed just fixing to pass away. Guy finally passes away, and some weeks later, he sees this, well, just actually right before he passed away, he sees this lady right about that time, and in church, she's going out the door, and he tells her, he says, Joni, I think was her name, said, I'm praying for you, and I'm praying, said her husband's name, said, I'm praying for him, and I'm praying for you all, and she went to him once, and she said this, she said, preacher, I really want you to, she said, well, what he really said was he was praying for the fellow. And she said, no, don't pray for him. He's fine. He's thinking, man, so she's just in denial. He's not fine. He's fixing to die. She said, no, he's fine. You don't understand. I was there when he got saved, and I know where he's going, and he's okay. But she said, preacher, I want you to pray for me. He said, what do you want me to pray for you about? She said, pray that I don't fail God. It's in times like these, she said, that so many times that I've seen people do crazy things. You see, when we get in desperate, when we get in that situation where our world's been turned upside down, many times we don't make very good decisions. You know what we need to do? Take it to God and listen to what God tells us to do. He knows best. And you see, it was a few weeks later, maybe a few months later, he's in his office, his study, got a hallway, something like this. He said he came out of his office and he's fixing to come down the hallway and he hears a Califé Roland song that they're singing, the choir begin to play and begin to sing. He's coming out, I guess they did a choir opener or whatever, and he's coming out, he's coming up on the platform, and he got to thinking it was the song Safe Thus Far. He got to thinking, I wonder who it is that they've got to sing that lead part. I wonder who it is. He said about that time, he said he come through the door, and he said about that time, that lady that had just lost her husband a few months earlier said she had that, came out of the choir, had that microphone in her hand like a champion, and said, I just came from the throne room today. I've been talking with him, and I'm reminded of where he's brought me from and where I could have been. You'll know what? She got with God. She encouraged herself in the Lord. She inquired at the Lord, and she had obedience, exercised obedience in the word of the Lord. She didn't do it her way. We need to exercise obedience to the Lord. Just do what God says. Just do what God says. I'm sure many of these men thought it's no use. It's no use to pursue after these people that have taken all our stuff. They've already sold all our stuff. They've already killed our... You see, back in those times, what they'd do is they'd usually kill the wives and they'd take the children and use them for slaves or sell them for slaves. They could have leaned to their own understanding. No doubt so many of them thought it's no use. I believe many times when we find ourselves fighting for something we love or find ourselves fighting for something that's sacred to our Christian life, it's simply God wanting to see if we'll be obedient to fight and pursue and do the things that God tells us to do. What do when your world falls apart? Number one, encourage yourself in the Lord. Remember, listen, remember, though you may lose everything you own, there's one thing that you cannot lose, and that's Jesus as your Savior. You can always encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Remember that He's the same God that He's always been. And if He did it one time, praise God, He can do it again. Secondly, what to do when your world falls apart? Inquire at the Lord. Ask God what move to make next. And then thirdly, exercise obedience to the Lord. When God tells you what to do, do it. And God will see you through like He's always seen you through. You're looking at a preacher tonight whose back's been against the wall before. More than once. Now, let's be honest. There's been times where I was literally frozen. I didn't know what to do. I was being honest. But it was like all of a sudden, an instinct, all of a sudden that Christian teaching, all of a sudden that Bible reading, all of a sudden that things that I've preached for years, I was about to have to live them. Things I'd been teaching for years. See? I began to take that thing to the Lord and take that thing to the Lord and take that thing to the Lord, and before I knew it, God had already worked it out. I've had, some of you know stories. I surrendered the ministry, turned and walked away from everything. I've had, listen, we've been 2 days from Christmas, nothing under the tree. And God walked in. when I came here, most of you knew things were pretty tight as I was at the assistant pastor of the church, and I had a salary, but it wasn't really enough, and God was providing, God was meeting our needs. But I remember I preached one morning. This is just how the Lord works. I preached one morning. I wasn't even pastoring here yet. I was just when I first came over, and I preached on gratitude. During that message, I told a story about a fellow in our church, former church, that I had. They had a pantry, a food pantry, and this fellow, he was struggling. He and his family. This is that church he was at former, and that wasn't Cedar Ridge Food Pantry church he was at before. And he had been struggling. He and his family. They had a thing once a month where they would have families come in, have those come in, those that might need help. And I told the story about that and how what this fella did. They got no money, they got nothing. They need help themselves, but they want to help this one. I think it's a Spanish family in their church. And so they stopped and bought something, I don't know what it was, a couple things, and brought to the food pantry that night. When he got there that night, they started delivering the food. They asked Tim to come back as well. And they took all the food they had and they split it between. He had no idea they were going to do that. I told that story about that night, or that morning. Unbeknownst to anything. And so y'all remember this. He'll start coming in the door with bags. They'd already went out and bought food and bought some other things, but we just come over to give to us. And we need it. I want to tell you tonight what to do when your world is turned upside down. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. He's the same God that He's always been. Inquire of the Lord. Listen, some of you don't see any way your son, daughter, or granddaughter is going to ever turn back to God. I know a pastor that his daughter was married a guy and somehow they got wroth. They were in the church there and they got sideways. I don't know what it was. Something he didn't like. And so they left the church. So this pastor's daughter and this man she married was no longer in church at all. And for a while, and broke his heart, completely crushed him. Man, he kept praying. One Sunday, I remember Sunday morning, Sunday night, they walked in, sat in the back. Before that service was over, young man stood up and apologized for what he had gotten wayward about and said God called him to preach. Encourage yourself in the Lord. He can still do it. He's done it one time. He can do it again. You've watched him walk in and do so many things in your life. When you thought, listen, you thought that bad diagnosis was coming. You thought that God can do it again. Let's stand for prayer. What to do when your world falls apart?